When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation. Micah Parsons speaking this afternoon. Will he be rooting for Philadelphia as they try to make a run to the Super Bowl? You know, he's a Philly guy. He's also talking about his contract. Does he need to be the highest paid player? Could he hold out? We'll have the details on that and more coming up in the C-Note here for you in 20 minutes. Right now, it's time for Zach Wolchuk's NFL News of the Day.
All right, this one's hot off the Shefty press, as Alvin Kamara apparently has a groin injury that is still being evaluated, but it's possible that it is a season-ending injury and that he has played his last down this year. So for a lot of Tolos that are cruising around or wherever you might be listening and you're in the fantasy playoffs and you've got Alvin Kamara, that's a big one, but does make some sense. Is New Orleans nothing really to play for the remaining 3 weeks? If he's got a groin injury, you just reworked a deal with him. He could be shut down, and you're looking at 2025 for the next time you see him. So that's another season not getting 1,000 yards for Alvin.
Wow. Yeah, that's heartbreaking.
It's like the craziest stat in the NFL.
He did have a catch. Maybe he heard it on this catch, the leaping one-hander. That was just incredible.
Was that the touchdown? I think it was the touchdown from Cedric Wilson, the trick play. Tuesday trick play. It was fantastic. And he comes up limp on that play, but he was so open, he was still able to score.
Yeah.
But
any wide receiver, that would be a play of the year.
Yeah.
Definitely. This guy's incredible and ageless, it feels like. How long has he been in the league? Like 10, 12 years?
He's got to be approaching 10 now, don't you think? I mean, he was part of those really good Breeze teams that had chances to go to the Super Bowl. I think Drew's been retired now for, 4 years?
Yeah, he's 29. He was drafted in 2017.
All right. Mm. A little younger than I thought.
Yeah.
By the way, Kevontae Turpin, already 28. Way older than I thought
I
looked him up.
Had that late start in the NFL when you're playing, what was it? Was he in the USFL? Is that where they got him from? He's the USFL
MVP. Birmingham. I believe it was Birmingham.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think Birmingham was
We got their kicker.
The Birmingham Stallions were, that was Butter.
They're one of the better teams in that thing.
Yeah, they are. And they got probably the most recognizable jerseys.
Lou Holtz's son's coaching that thing up.
Skip Holtz, he is.
Where's Lou Holtz at right now?
I don't know where Lou is. It's a good question.
I was just doing the Ryan Day thing Holtz.
Where are you, Lou? Where are you, huh? After he beats Notre Dame, where are you, Lou?
It's part of the college football kegger opener. So good. And I love it.
The Chiefs have ruled out left tackle DJ Humphreys for Saturday's game against the Texans. They've ruled in quarterback Patrick Mahomes. He is going to be playing when it comes to their matchup here on Saturday against Houston. So I guess that's not a huge surprise for me. I know Mahomes has really done some freaky stuff with these ankle injuries throughout his career, going back to Texas Tech, probably back to his high school playing days at White House. But he's going to be a go. But this offensive line is something that should be concerning, and I wonder now if you're definitely going to have an emphasis on, we're getting Isaiah Pacheco the football, we're going to run this thing, and we're going to try and just limit the amount of dropbacks for Patrick Mahomes if we can, if you're Andy Reid. They are activating Hollywood Brown, so that's a huge win. As he's been practicing, he's been getting back, so barring any setback, he could be playing this Saturday against Houston. So they get their ace receiver back. Huge, huge for them right now.
I mean, their inability to make plays downfield, I feel like, is just smashed. And this might open up things significantly.
Yes, because he's got that burner speed that they've really... Yeah. I mean, I know Xavier Worthy does too. But for whatever reason, the deep ball there hasn't quite been on the same page. They haven't been connecting consistently. Maybe Hollywood Brownie does. Now, staying in the AFC, you don't want to call this team soft. All right, we go to the Titans. Brian Callahan. Mm-hmm. He went on an epic rant yesterday. I actually was listening to it during one of the breaks. I'm like, this is really a head coach right now? It is. And I guess you had a report that somebody called his team soft, and he was asked about it at his weekly press conference.
Did you respond to that idea?
I mean, you really want to get me going today? yeah, I think, to be honest with you, I think it's complete and total bullshit, if you want my honest opinion. Mm. These guys are tough, man. They go after it every day. They play hard as hell. And there's at no point have we ever put on tape at any point this season that this is a soft football team. Like, I can't even wrap my mind around how that would even be a conversation. I mean, just because we don't win games doesn't mean we're soft. These guys play their ass off. They play hard. They play physical. You can ask any team that plays against us that when they come off the field, they know they played us. Yeah, that makes me relatively angry that would be some presumption. That means you just don't watch the shit, you know. You don't do anything about it that you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're looking at. So I'm not going to stand for anybody calling this football team soft. I think that's bullshit. So if there's opinions out there that feel that way, then, you know, they don't know anything about NFL football. So I'd like you to walk in there and call one of these guys soft and see what happens. You know, this is not a soft football team at all, mentally or physically. And I think one of the things mentally that's really been impressive about the team is that the way that they keep fighting through the way that this season has gone. They've not shown at any point that they're not up to the task. They come out every day and work. They have, I mean, I'm a really... You're going to really get me going now. I mean, these guys come out here and they do everything possible to win games. And if there's any assumption anywhere that's outside of this building, again, we don't focus on all those things, but there's no possible explanation to say that this team is soft any way, shape, or form, mentally or physically. And the way that they go about their work it's insulting to me, to them, to everyone that works here. So, I'm not that no chance ever in hell would I ever admit that to be the case, and neither would anybody in this locker room. So you can kind of shove that one right up your ass.
I can't even believe it.
Yeah, that was,
man.
Sounds just like his dad.
Was that a 2-minute rant?
Basically, yeah. Just telling everyone go bleep yourselves. My team is not soft.
It's so weird when non-players call pro football players. I mean, these are some of the toughest athletes in the history of the world that we're looking at. I think it's possible to be relatively soft compared to the rest of your competition, but every one of those guys to a man is tougher than everybody not in that building. So. I do want to say that. It's funny when he's like, we don't focus on it, but it gets him mad.
He's so triggered. Yeah. I mean, he was triggered.
Yeah.
That way he was ready to go off, and I get it. I mean, that's a word you throw it around NFL locker rooms. You know that, Brian. That's triggering right there. And look, we had that conversation about the Cowboys early in the season when they were just getting run on and they're giving up, you know, blowing leads at home. They're giving up. They're down by 20-plus in the fourth quarter. It's like, okay, is this a soft football team?
I mean, you can have a soft run defense, but it doesn't mean the guy's energy is soft. They're just not good or not physical enough.
No. If you're lacing up and playing on Sundays or whenever your game is, you know, these guys in the NFL, no, they're not soft. The Jets stuff is just crazy what's going on. We covered a lot of it in the open, the influence of Madden ratings and the Woody Johnson decision to maybe not trade for Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy did say today that he just doesn't believe that. He thinks that's fake. Maybe it's just so shocking you don't want to believe it. I mean, it does. It does sound like how in the world could anybody be making a decision in real life football based on a player's Madden rating? It does sound like something that would be completely made up. But the thing is here, when it comes to the Jets, and we had pushback dating back to this time last year, Diana Rossini, she's telling us about the dysfunction there. And Aaron Rodgers is calling her out and saying, that's a bunch of crap. That's bull bleep. I don't know where you're getting this from. Who's the source? And it turns out all to be true. So it's hard to say that this isn't true.
He was only an 81 overall. If you're thinking about giving him a first round pick,
85 or better. Are you kidding me? I'm out on the 81.
That is a very difficult question to answer, though, because, you know, in the end, you're happy to be where you are, you know, and you don't want to say anything that would suggest you wish you would have been traded to the Jets. Obviously, you don't. But also, the team that you're on is pretty dysfunctional as well. If you are stuck in a rut, you know, in a league that is meant for parity and fluctuations, then you look no further. It's no coincidence that the loser teams have this kind of stuff in common. Jerry's just the least offender of the group.
Well, the stories just, they continue to come out in this piece from The Athletic. And this is Zach Rosenblatt, Diana Rossini, Michael Silver, all awesome at their job. So we go back to after a Thursday night win on Halloween, they beat Houston, the Jets do. and it was the first win for Jeff Ulbrich after the Jets fired Robert Saleh. Rodgers had a game ball in hand, ready to give it to the interim coach. But before Rodgers could speak, here's good old Brick Johnson. What's he done? Took another game ball, awarded it to wide receiver Garrett Wilson in a profanity-laced rant in which the owner's son later posted to Instagram. Woody Johnson then gave Ulbrich the ball Rodgers had been holding. Multiple players said the energy felt drained out of the room. One player called it the most awkward, cringeworthy, brutal experience.
What a play by me.
So the college kid Brick goes and grabs his own game ball.
Yep.
And
hands it to Garrett Wilson, has a whole speech to the team.
To the team?
Yep, to the team. Then owner grabs ball from Aaron Rodgers, who is ready to do his own. Like, okay, we fired our coach. We just finally got a win for the first time. Thursday night football, big win. Rodgers is about to say something. Give the ball to him. Maybe this is going to be a galvanizing moment. Instead, son steps all over it, and now the owner, Woody Johnson, big times Rodgers, grabs the ball, gives it to him instead, and everyone in the locker room, they're just like, what the hell is going on right now? Gross.
Wow. I do think that was the Garrett Wilson incredible touchdown.
Yeah. Which, I mean, deserved. Badass moment.
I mean, it's game ball worthy. 9 grabs, 90 yards, 2 touchdowns.
But maybe you just wait till like the team actually does their thing.
The idea that Brick Johnson's even in the locker room after a game, let alone having any authority to like rally up the troops and say, hey guys, we're going to go ahead and present the ball. You're like, what are we even doing now?
And apparently his sons are like bringing friends and even girlfriends into the locker room. Isn't that just weird?
I mean, this sounds like a Clippers deal. Like when we were watching that clip series on FX. Mm.
I'm telling baby girl she's got to stay outside.
Doing, right? Hey, get up and stand around. Let my guest see you. Hey, get up and stand. Look at this guy.
Sugar, why don't you get to the car? Yes.
Take that towel off, son.
Meet you at the car, babe.
It's weird, man. So I don't know. At least it doesn't sound that bad here. We got our own problems, but you're not the Jets. Now we go to Jahmyr Gibbs on Up and Adams with Kay Adams. And Jahmyr tells a story about the draft, and he might have. What could have been? What could have been with Jahmyr Gibbs? And I wonder how you would have felt about this, Eric. Take it away, Jahmyr.
I'm from Chicago. Jahmyr, I'm from Chicago. What are you?
Oh, it's going to be so cold, bro. Oh,
what? What do you mean? Yeah. That's not your favorite?
No. Like when I was in the draft process, I said I just didn't want to go to a team up north. That's the only thing I said.
At least you got a dome. God gave you half your little Christmas wish.
Yeah, but I'm happy I came here, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would say you're. Can you imagine playing anywhere else? Like, no way.
No, I said that. I was like, because the Cowboys don't get me too. I got 24. And then I was like, imagine if I was a Cowboy right now. I'd be so sick. I'd be hot.
That's a great bite. I love that.
So at pick 24, where the Cowboys did end up taking Mozzie Smith. Mm-hmm. Jahmyr Gibbs had been available. He believes he'd have been a Dallas Cowboy. Now, I didn't appreciate the shots thrown there, Jahmyr.
He'd be sick.
He'd be sick. I mean,
That's just pandering for the home crowd, though.
100%. Yeah. But, like, how different would we be viewing this team, and would you have been bummed if at 24, Jahmyr Gibbs out of Alabama had a star on his helmet?
In retrospect, no. At the time, I would have been disappointed. You know, at the time, I would have been thinking, wow, you had this big defensive tackle, a chance to plug that middle for the next 8 to 10 years, and you go with a running back. We had bigger needs than that. Tony Pollard was still an option.
Yeah.
So, I would have not enjoyed that at the time. But in retrospect, that would have been perfect.
You wouldn't have to worry about it now.
I hate that he's sick to his stomach, dude.
I know he'd have been sick
about it. The Detroit disrespect.
There really
is
a lot of Detroit disrespect
piling on. I know they're a lovable team, and that for a lot of reasons, you just watch them and you're like, hey man, it's lovable Detroit. But they had to earn a pick with the Cowboys.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
They have really rubbed our noses in it.
Yeah, they sure have. I'm about maybe I should turn here. Maybe I should turn code on the Lions. Go bleep yourselves, Detroit. I still love you, Dan Campbell, but this is getting to be too much now. On a showboat in our house, now Jahmyr Gibbs would be sick to his stomach if he wore a star on his helmet.
Oh, I tell you what.
F you.
The fans are going to be fired up about this. Cowboys fans are going to want to feast on some lion. The players, no doubt, will be offended and maybe even work extra hard in the offseason trying to catch Detroit. Mm. But it doesn't matter. You know, the leadership of the organization does not care.
They don't. It does appear that Isaac Garrendo, the running back for San Fran, he's going to be out against the
hamstring,
Dolphins.
Hamstring, huh?
Yeah, that hammy. Also, Trent Williams. Will
four running backs for the Niners?
So is it going to be a Abanikanda?
I think it's going to be a Abanacanda.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a Abanacanda.
Might be a little fantasy.
It could be.
Swoop.
Could be a sleeper there.
It's playoff time.
Maybe Prize Picks. You get in your more or less in the Abanacanda running yards. There you go. And Kyle Shanahan told reporter Trent Williams may not play again this season.
I think we're getting to that point.
Why
now.
Would you?
So
why would you?
Like, eh,
I think we're getting to that
we're
point.
We're just going
to
go ahead and get healthy, move forward on this. I did see, per the 33rd team, the left tackle you're going to be playing against this week in Tristan Wirfs, along with Penei Sewell of the Lions. They are the only offensive tackles with 400 or more pass-blocking snaps and have a goose egg when it comes to sacks allowed.
Next-gen stats that descends to the team says he has 1.5.
1.5. He's allowed 1.5 sacks?
Yeah.
Okay, Wirfs. So we got a sack off here. 33rd team versus next gen.
Wow.
But like I said, that's the next gen stuff that goes to.
So should we lean next gen here?
It's the stuff the teams get.
I wonder if they'll get community.
But they also pinned that 80 something yard pass that they had in the Carolina game.
Yeah.
They pinned that one on Hooker.
And we don't know for sure if it was his fault.
No, we don't know for sure.
Maybe they're doing foolery stuff over there.
That's just the GPS numbers on who's closest.
Yeah. They call it nearest defender is what
okay.
they do.
Nearest
yeah.
defender.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson says he hopes to re-sign with the Steelers in the latest Hard Knocks episode. I guess that was a big part of it. And I could understand why Pittsburgh wants to bring him back. They're 10-4. He has looked at times like vintage Russell Wilson, and I don't know what else they're going to do at quarterback. Maybe if it's a team-friendly type of deal. They paid $1 million this year.
You're playing for a top-five NFL franchise historically. You're obviously not vintage Russell Wilson anymore. We would love to do a very a team-friendly contract with you, maybe even for multiple years. But if you insist on being Mr. Unlimited with your contract demands, we're drafting somebody. I think that's the way you'd have to approach that. And I think for Russell Wilson at this point in his career, it's got to be an incredibly attractive offer.
Right. Especially for a team and a coach in which you know you can win for.
Yeah.
This stuff was weird. I meant to get to this yesterday, but Tyreek Hill, like, what the hell is going on there in South Beach? He put out that it's time for me to go coach on Wednesday on Twitter. Did not offer any further explanation. I mean, they're 6-8. And Tyreek Hill has floated out the retirement ideas in the past. But, he does have a bunch of kids. Yeah. And I think that he has said he would love to coach his children as well. But I don't know. Is he, like, kind of just throwing stuff out there? Or is he maybe looking at the end of his football career here sooner rather than later?
Apparently, he was meeting with the media today and was just like, I see what Deion Sanders is doing. I see what Michael Vick is doing. And I see what Teddy Bridgewater who just won a state championship in Miami high school.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said. He was like, I just see these guys all doing the coaching thing. And
so down the line,
now it's going to be my turn.
It's not like I'm about to quit and go be a coach.
No, I don't think so.
All right.
What Micah Parsons has to say about maybe rooting for the Eagles as they go on their run how he's approaching the first offseason where he could hold out, his thoughts on that and more in the C-note.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Coming up next. Hey, buddy, welcome back. It's time here for the C-Note, Cowboys News of the Evening. It is brought to you by Ciroc Vodka. Please drink responsibly. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is in a car truck wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels and get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Micah has made it clear he does not need to be the highest paid defensive player. Said that'd be nice, but added it would be nice to be surrounded by good players and win championships. It's going to take as many guys as possible, so I want to work with them as much as possible, and I don't need $40 million per year. I need to be somewhere I can have a lake house.
What'd you say?
He said he would like a new contract.
Oh, lake house.
Before the start of training camp, though. But said he wouldn't plan on holding out, even if a new contract isn't done in the offseason. I love hearing that from players that I'm rooting for, you know, and for all the trash I talk about the Cowboys and their leadership, I still root for this team strongly. But I just would not recommend that. And I imagine his agent is going to tell him, dude, they'll likely, you know, mess it up. You give him a $10 million discount. What are they going to do? Michael Gallup? You know, Terrence Steele, this just isn't a team that's proven to be resourceful. But more than that, they've proven that when they're close, they don't really go all in. You know, they think all in is signing their own guys and backloading their deals so they end up in cap hell anyway. That's the crazy thing. This team ends up in cap hell once every decade, even conservatively managing their cap. You know, they won't do it on purpose in an attempt to win a Super Bowl like the Rams, Buccaneers. You know, they're just constantly trying to make the playoffs. And I don't know. I feel like a lot of the things that Mike has been saying recently, are going to resonate strongly with the fan base. Mm-hmm. But you can't trust Jerry Jones. And I think most of these guys, when they get drafted, they fall for the, hey, it's family. I want to be here for life. And then they are here for, you know, 10, 12 years if they're great. And they never really get all that close to a Super Bowl. So I would check the history, and I say this, you know, in part because I think Micah listens to our show and he needs to hear it, but also because I'd love it if Micah could put genuine pressure on Jerry Jones to be more aggressive with the salary cap management. Maybe he's the guy to do it.
His agent will, though.
Nice.
David Mulligetti, is it?
Yeah, David Mulligetti.
Yeah, he is a bulldog. He is a bulldog. He is not going to pull any punches or give any favors or any of that stuff.
Micah, you go say the right things with the media.
Micah is a very media savvy guy.
Yeah.
Very media savvy. He understands this. He has this ability to, he can be polarizing. He could be in love. You know, everybody can be in love with him, you know, with his play and all that. He and Dak Prescott, they very much know how to play this game. And Mike has got a bulldog for an agent, and this guy is going to get every dime out of this front office that Micah deserves. Okay. I don't doubt that. And I think he could say this. I think he could talk about, well, what's the difference between 30 and 40? You know, no. Because he knows his agent's going to go in there and kick their ass. Is what's going to happen.
You know, and some guys are just, you know, they don't have that feeling like I need unlimited money.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be happy with a much more humble type of deal. Mm-hmm. You know, like when Sean Lee was drafted for a couple of years, mm-hmm. he lived in an empty apartment with a mattress on it. He was like, I don't need stuff. I need football, you know, and you're fortunate to get a guy like, you know, like that, who... you know, is going to be great and not press you for the most. But I think you're right, Brian, yeah, that his agent will. But then he talked about, you know, his off season. In the last two off seasons, he's done his own thing. Is he rethinking that? He was asked, are you going to be around? Could you hold out? He says, well, at some point, if I got to learn a new scheme, I would love to have Zimmer back. But if I have to learn a new scheme, if they do change or he just feels like he's ready to go with the horses, I got to learn a new scheme. I got to be around guys. That's a chemistry part. Yeah. And I still got to be there for that part. Was Micah's absence, you know, anything to do with this defensive struggle in the first half of the season? Is he looking at some of the feedback that he got the last 2 years and thinking maybe I wasn't doing that right going off sumo wrestling and hand fighting?
Yes. Yeah. I believe so. I think that because, I mean, even when you talk about and if you read what he said about the Eagles, it's a drastic difference to what he has said in the past. I think there's absolutely been growth. I think there's been learning. Now, it could also be, I mean, I think that somebody that wants to be skeptical is like, he is coming up on a contract. So say all the right things, do everything that needs to be done to make sure that you get paid. But I do think that everything that you've illustrated there in terms of what he's done in the past, what he said in the past, maybe the fan base being more open than ever to say like, okay, we'll trade you then.
Yeah.
That's fine. Go ahead and trade him. Get a bunch of picks back. Move on. Is he worth paying? No. The fan base turned pretty darn quick from a year ago this time when Brian and I were doing Holiday Radio and suggested it. And it was like, go F yourselves, to all of a sudden it kind of seemed like an overwhelming support to move him.
So the Cowboys need Washington to lose to keep their playoff hopes alive. Lose all of their games. Cowboys have to win all their games. Plus, they need additional help. So, you know, it's not just, hey, you're from Philadelphia. Are you rooting for the Eagles? It's, hey, you know, the Eagles have to win to keep your playoff hopes alive. What do you think about that? He said, no, at this point, it's bleep Philly. Yeah. Even if we get eliminated, I got to crush Philly. Bleep them. I hate them now. I'll be seeing them talk so much on social media.
I love that. That's the answer we want, baby.
Yes, dude. When you teased that, I was nervous that he was going to be a little too filthy friendly.
Yeah.
Like we've seen him in the past.
Yeah.
But this is exactly what you want.
I mean, didn't he sit courtside in a Tyrese Maxey jersey?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's a Dallas guy, so you can be playing both sides of that. But neither part of this rivalry wants a guy playing both sides.
I think Mike is kind of realizing now with the podcast and stuff, and then the position he has within Bleacher Report, that the Dallas fan base is important to his existence in the media, as we all know.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You can't piss off the Cowboy fans. Those folks are loyal listeners. You know, they don't always want to hear you talk badly about their team, but they're very, very loyal to the content that they... So I think he realizes that showing up at Sixers games, talking well about Philly, maybe interviewing Darius Slay, might be bad for his bottom line. That having the Cowboys Nation on your side is worth more to you than just being that guy. And I think he's pivoting now because he's seeing this in the media and his numbers.
Yeah.
People are saying, hey, when you have on Slay, this is what happens.
Shut up, bitch!
When you don't have on Slay and you just talk about the team, this is what happens.
Like you have Jordan Love on right after you lose in the playoffs,
this
right?
This is a smart guy. I mean, he's smart because he realizes this by pivoting that he needs to continue to try and endear himself to this fan base because, I hate to say this, folks, you're dollar signs.
Yeah.
You really are.
He's also over 25 now, which can be a big point for maturity. He's been in the DFW now for 3 years. I know my first year here, I still felt more Trailblazers fandom in my heart than I did Mavs.
Yeah.
You know, and over time, that's very much evened out. And now I watch way more Mavs games.
Bad for business for you.
Yeah. I mean, but
and plus you attacked Stevie Ray Vaughan too when you got here.
You did
attack Stevie Ray Vaughan.
And I'll stand on that.
Whoa.
One, okay.
Oh, come on.
Not necessarily an attack of them. I just don't get it. Like, I don't get you too. Like Blake the other night didn't get Adele. You know, there's just some musical acts that I'm like, okay, a lot of people love them, but. Maybe not my thing.
Not your thing, yeah. Maybe like Blink 182. I love Blink 182. You
in the home of Stevie Ray Vaughan, though? That's what you want to do?
Pardon?
In the home of Stevie Ray Vaughan, that's what you want to do?
No, I don't want to do that. Okay. I still regret that statement, but I feel obliged to just, you know, stand
on business.
Yeah. When now, the Blink 182 thing, you could retreat from quickly, Wolf. No, that's pathetic.
They were that and Eminem, they were two of the first albums I ever bought or CDs I ever bought, but I love Blink 182. I always will. When it comes to Micah's deal, We like them to get ahead of this. We always talk about this. Like, should the Cowboys get ahead of the contract? Is it beneficial for them to wait on this one? you don't get this one done this year, just to try and stagger some of these deals out.
I think that's the biggest issues that they have. If you ask those guys and gals over there, the staggering has been a problem for them. They just,
like, they're all up at the same time.
They're all up at the same time. Yeah.
What was the first record you bought, Chief?
It would have been the, I don't know that I bought it, but it was gifted to me, Nellyville.
Okay.
Nice.
With Hot in Here on there.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
Jam, Brian?
Lucius played it the other day, the Eagles' Long Run. He played a song off the Long Run album, and that was the first one I ever bought.
Lucius?
Nas. I believe it's Illmatic. Yeah, that's the first one.
Stroll Through Time.
Yeah.
I mean, when hip-hop music took off in the late 80s, you couldn't get it on the radio where I was at in Portland. There wasn't any sort of a rap station. Oh. So we had to go and find it and get an adult because the parental advisory explicit lyric sticker on it. You know, you'd have to find an older kid to buy it for you or something. So that was a different time indeed. Yeah. You know, but we would make tapes. That was more of ideal. One person would buy it, and then you would like go over to somebody's house and make like 7 or 8 copies of it with the person that had the kick-ass stereo that could cut those dubs together. Okay, according to NFL's next-gen stats, Dallas currently has a less than 1% chance of making the playoffs. Should the Cowboys pull an upset, it will increase all the way to
4%.
1%.
Oh.
That Bengals game is looming large.
Oh, huge.
Yeah, that might be the moment of the year when it comes to the draft pick.
Get that thing to 7-7.
So the Cowboys have to win all, and the Commanders have to lose all of them. That's why it's so difficult. And Dallas needs a win against Tampa this weekend to avoid elimination, but a Commanders win over the Eagles would eliminate Dallas as well. Not only that, the Cowboys need losses from the 4 teams between the Commanders and Cowboys in the standings.
Isn't Atlanta in there somewhere?
So none of those teams can go undefeated the rest of the way. Yeah. Dallas can win and Washington can lose, but if the Seahawks keep pace, it's Seattle. The Cowboys would need to lose out as well. Holy cow. It ain't happening. No, so happening. At least you'll be picking at worst, what, 18th? Is that the last pick of the non-playoff teams, I think? 18th?
Yeah.
Okay. We got to run, Nation. When we return right here in the G-Bag Nation, we have Krusty's Corner. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, what am I doing today? I get to talk about Tampa's defense today. We'll do that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. G-Bag Nation, we have more college football coming up at 4 o'clock with you. It's time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Thank you very much to Reliant as well. Can I real quickly do a G-bag, you make the call?
I would love it.
Okay, this happened to me today walking into the Star. It's a young man, probably about 13, maybe 14 years old. He was carrying a football.
Cutting school?
He was carrying, I don't know, he was maybe on a tour. Maybe they were, because they were coming out of the area where you kind of meet for the tour. But he's carrying a football. So he's kind of throwing it around, and I see him coming at me. And then he takes the ball like he's going to run, like he's got it tucked away.
High and tight.
High and tight. I walk by and knock the ball out of his hand.
Oh, there you go.
How did you go? Did you punch out like Leofow, or was it like a tomahawk?
I'm walking by. I got my backpack on, and he's carrying it in his left arm.
Mm-hmm.
So I go for the punch. I punch
Peanut
it.
Punch.
He punched it. I punched it out of it, and he drops the ball.
Wow. Was this your good shoulder or your bad shoulder?
This was my left, so I was able to punch it with the
across
left.
His body, or he was carrying it close to you?
He's holding in his left. I punch with my left.
Okay.
And knock it on the ground.
Did you recover it? Scoop and score.
I kept walking.
Nice.
And the guy turned, and I go, I got you.
I got you.
And his buddy started laughing.
You, bitch.
I go, his buddy started laughing.
Okay.
All right. Now, my teammates on the break this morning, Amber Garcia and Derek Eagleton and Nick Harris. Amber goes, who hurt you in your life? When I explain this story, and I'm like, no, Amber, I'm teaching the kid ball security.
Yeah. Right.
You know, he's kind of throwing the ball around. He puts it in his arm and he's kind of like he's running.
Yeah.
And then I go up and knock it out, and the ball was obviously on the ground. It's going to be a fumble. It's going to be my ball. You know, we're going to dive on that ball, and it's going our way.
Sure.
You're not going to Terrence steal that thing?
No, I'm not. No, I'm just going to fall. By the way, I was watching tape the other day. There was a tip ball that went backwards. Guyton just fell on the ball. He just ran back there and fell on it.
We're learning.
He didn't even try and pick it up. It was an incomplete pass, but he ran back there and fell on it.
Just in case.
So we're learning along the way. Okay. Ambar, and then think I'm completely... Derek was happy that I was teaching the kids some life lessons about ball security.
Exactly.
Was I wrong by knocking the ball?
No, once he tucked that thing, he was simulating you as the guy in the hole or whatever.
So
or
he
in space.
was doing the fake basket shot where you spin off a guy and like you kind of act like you do the rip move like you're Russian. Mm-hmm. You do like a fake rip and you like dip like you're getting around.
This
the
kid
block.
Sounds like a badass. I love this kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's having fun, and I think it's super fun when people are messing around and you get involved for just a second. Yeah. Like, they're throwing the football around at soccer games, little kids. I'll try to pick that thing off or break up a play.
When you're in the star, you're in a football environment, too.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be ready. You got to be ready for coaching.
I say, Ambar was like, who hurt you?
It's good football vibes. Yeah. No.
See, I was thinking that I was just having fun with the kid because when he went, he's throwing around, I wasn't going to slap it out of his hands as he's throwing it up.
No, that'd be a
D-move. But he went into running back mode. So he put the ball and he tucked it, and then I'm walking by, and I kind of go, boom.
See, I think the only thing that might be in trouble is if you came across his body and knocked him down.
Yeah.
But once he's got that ball on your near side, you can make a clean play.
We were passing right by each other, so he was trying to make a cut, and I closed the space.
Yeah.
Now, if I would hit the kid in the wrist and hurt him.
Sure. Yeah, that's the dangerous game that you were playing there.
I thought about that.
With a dad on your hands.
Yeah, I thought about that, but his buddies were like laughing at him.
For sure.
And the kid turned and was laughing at it too.
Yeah, that's a tip of the cap. That's a guy, that's a competitor himself, and he knows that he's going to be better off because of it. Like, he'll never forget that moment. Yeah. I bet he never fumbles again.
Yeah, I just was curious though, was I in the wrong by doing
that? No, absolutely not. Ball security's extremely important
in that scenario. Not at all.
If you could have taught him the cover two or whatever in that moment, it would have been worthy as well.
Oh, I just died. I mean, I didn't expect him to dive on the ball in the concrete.
I was kind of expecting you to do that. I am a little disappointed that you didn't finish the play. Play through the damn whistle.
One of my favorite commercials of all time was the NFL 100th anniversary when they're in that ballroom.
Yeah,
so Mike Singletary goes. Ball! And they all like they're all diving on it and they're all throwing it around. That's
so good.
That is a really good deal there. So okay, so you guys are good with what I did then.
Yeah,
right. I was worried you guys were gonna say you're an idiot. You're an idiot for doing this.
I think you're bragging.
I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that
I'm not bragging.
I don't know if I'd do it again now. If you guys would have come out and said, "Hey, listen, I brought us that."
Scared again, huh?
Yep. Don't be a coward, Brian.
Don't be a coward.
Come on.
These guys, the Buccaneers, are going to play nickel 70% of this game against you, and they allow about 5.4 yards of play doing that. This unit allows the ninth fewest explosive plays as a defense. And, you know, they've had some problems, you know, with some people, their numbers, the metrics and all that say that they're not a great. I think this team has had some problems in the secondary because of injuries. I know we had Brianna Dix on, but you watch and how they're trying to kind of make up for some guys. I think this the problem here is that to me they're starting to get some guys back. Now we'll see if Zach, your safety, gets to play.
Oh, Antoine Winfield Jr.
Yeah, we'll see if he plays. I'm kind of hearing some things about him that he almost has to be perfect, physically.
Really?
Like he's
a little Yu Darvish in him.
Yeah, a little Yu Darvish in him that he absolutely has to be feeling it to get out there.
He was under DNP today.
Yeah, well, then that means he's probably not going to play in this football game. But you're going to get a loaded box against these guys. That's going to be something. They have the highest rate in the league. And when it comes to the loaded box stuff. And the problem is when Dallas plays against loaded box teams, they don't rush the ball very well. Dallas is the fifth fewest yards when teams play loaded box against them. And that's even playing with Dowdle playing.
Now you got the alpha Brock Hoffman in there, though. Things might change.
The alpha.
So another thing this team does really, really well is they tackle. When you start to talk about receptions and stuff like that, seventh fewest yards. You watch them on tape. You know, they got guys like David and others. And Winfield, you mentioned, these guys tackle particularly well. And so what's going to happen is you're likely not going to have any real run after catch. But does Dallas really have any run after catch generally, unless it's Turpin or somebody like that, yeah, right?
Maybe CD.
Yeah.
So they're not great in coverage, but they do tackle well?
They do. They tackle really, really well. But like I say, the problem that they have is their pass rush really is they've got some guys that their pass rush comes from their defensive tackles. Mm. You know, it's not really from their edges. But they bring a lot of safety blitz. Secondary blitz. There's only one other team that blitzes more than this team does with secondary blitzes. So you're going to get linebacker blitzes. You're going to get safety blitzes. The problem again, now when you start to watch that and you see, I went back and looked at all the sacks that the Buccaneers had, you know, with the blitzes and stuff, you're dealing with a quarterback. Your quarterback doesn't particularly play well against pressure.
Yeah.
And then when it's secondary pressure, he's really not good.
How's the ball skills in the defensive backfield for Tampa and their awareness? Because I think this game's got to look like last week where Cooper rushed through at least two that could have been picks and they ended up touchdowns.
Yeah, they're much like what you look at Carolina when you play with the off coverage. You know, Carolina last week gave you about 7 yards of cushion, which was one of the biggest cushions you get in the league. This team's the fourth most when it comes to that. They're terrified with giving up the big play. Okay. When they play a ton of zone, they play a lot of single high, and teams have kind of hurt them on that because they've given up plays up the seams. And so, but they're into totally playing with the deep safety, playing their corners at depth, and then just trying to keep everything in front, rally and tackle. That's what their defense. I mentioned about the explosives when you talk about run defense.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing with this group is, and I was like, man, they do a pretty decent job here with the, you know, when it comes to at the line of scrimmage or beyond the line of scrimmage with the tackle stuff. They're actually a better defense with Vita Vea off the field, a better run defense with him being completely off the field.
That's weird.
It is weird. But you look at the number, how the metrics.
Like yards per carry or success rate?
It's like yards per carry. Like when he's on the field, opponents have rushed for like 5 yards a carry. When he's been off the field, it's about 3.4.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's wild.
But you know what teams are doing to him? They're running the ball on the edges.
Okay.
They're staying away from him.
When he's on the field.
When he's on the field.
Gotcha.
And so what's going to happen to Dallas is, where does Rico Dowdle run the ball generally?
Inside.
Middle.
Inside. See, that's going to hurt you right there. You're going to, maybe the Turpin plays that we saw, or maybe not Turpin, but maybe it's more about Rico if setting that thing going off the edges there to try. If you're going to get BB, Hoffman, Steele, and then you get Schoonmaker or Ferguson or something like that. I mean, they did a really good job last week of securing that edge. Okay. I'd keep after that. If that's part of what we're going to do with Turpin, because that's where the Buccaneers struggle, is the ball coming off the edge. The teams that run inside against them, it tends to be a little bit more of a problem for them. So
sounds like about 24-16 Tampa to me, based on these last two Krusty's corners.
It's like Cansey's an undersized end.
Well, he plays as a tackle. So that's what happened. You get him and Vita Vea and those guys. They get really, they're a front that like to move. And when I always say the movement, they're big twist. And they're big twist. And they're also, though, like I say, the blitz, the linebacker blitz, and then the secondary blitz. So they're going to try and move the front. Other than Vita Vea, he's going to just try and push the middle of the pocket, but they're going to bring some kind of combinations. You might have three guys down, two standing up, and then that's how they're going to rush you. So
they got some good athletes there.
Yeah,
with like
the metrics
Kansas
say they're like Dallas and very poor, but I think they're digging out of holes. I think they're digging. I think they're playing better, but their hole was so deep because of some of the earlier stuff that happened. But if Dallas doesn't handle the blitz well in this one, then they're going to have problems. If they don't find a way to get the ball to the edge in the running game, they're going to have some problems. And they've got to have more than just one receiver win against single high coverage. especially when they're going to play off coverage on you. You got to find a way to win on the outside.
Got your hands full.
Yep.
With the playoff hope slim to none. Sounds like they just got a little bit slimmer. I mean, the offensive description yesterday was pretty daunting. This sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brian. Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Chief, where are we going next?
College Football Thursday, Darty, featuring more CFP previews. We got your 2025 Heisman favorite and your College Football Throwback Thursday clip of the day next in the nation.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.